This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump is reportedly telling people close to him that he is getting more and more worried about the possibility of being impeached. An NBC News report says a number of people claim the president's fears are rising as the consequences of federal investigations of his associates start to sink in. The president reportedly also worried about congressional investigations after Democrats take control of the U.S. House next year.
He's fighting for America and American people every day.
In a Fox interview with Sean Hannity, that's First Lady Melania Trump, saying she believes in what her husband is doing in the White House and doesn't listen to his detractors.
He wants to govern the right way, and sometimes it's tough because you could see that media wants to bash and focus on negativity.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found that 53% of Americans plan to shop after Thanksgiving weekend. Last holiday season, consumers spent an average of $1,143 on retail purchases, showing there's a lot more shopping and spending ahead for Americans. Jason Gaughan, Bank of America executive.
As you begin purchasing holiday decorations and gifts, it pays to have a credit card that rewards you for every purchase. With the Bank of America Premium Rewards Card, you earn an unlimited 1.5 points for every dollar you spend. Earn even more when you book holiday travel with 2 points for every dollar spent on all travel and dining purchases. Plus, our preferred rewards clients can receive a rewards bonus of up to 75%.
For more tips and information on how to apply for the Premium Rewards Card, visit bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards. That's bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards.
President Trump reacting to Michael Cohen's prison sentence. In a tweet this morning, the president saying he never directed Cohen to break the law, adding that as a lawyer, Cohen is, quote, supposed to know the law. The Library of Congress National Film Registry adding more classic films as it does each year at around this time. As the registry turns 30, among the 25 films added this year, the 1968 documentary Monterey Pop. Also 1964's My Fair Lady, The Shining, featuring Jack Nicholson's terrifying performance.
Here's Johnny!
Disney's animated feature Cinderella, 1993's Jurassic Park, and 1987's Broadcast News.
He personifies everything that you've been fighting against. And I'm in love with you.
How do you like that? I buried the lead.
This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
A Tennessee lawmaker taking some heat for suggesting publicly that vaccines may be causing autism. During a town hall meeting a few days ago, Republican Congressman-elect Mark Green questioned data from the CDC and others that's disproven that idea. Green, who's also a doctor himself, says he believes the CDC has committed fraud in managing such data on vaccines. He's walked some of his comments back since, saying he felt they had been misconstrued. The Food and Drug Administration's issued a warning about a product it says is defective and could cause infections in women. USA Radio's Robert Walensky says the product recall involves something marketed as U by Kotex.
The FDA says a defect in some of the products could cause them to come apart.
The deadline to buy or make changes in your health insurance through the Affordable Care Act's marketplace almost here. The open enrollment period ending this Saturday. People in most states can sign up on the federally run marketplace, healthcare.gov. And just getting word that the rate of jobless Americans has hit a 49-year low. which could ease worries about a slowdown in the labor market. Initial claims for unemployment benefits dropping to 206,000 for the week ending on December 8th. That decline in claims, the largest drop since April of 2015. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Live. Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you get to go to BillMartinezLive.com. Tom Rogan joins us now, commentary writer for the Washington Examiner, senior fellow with the Steamboat Institute. He moderates the McLaughlin Group. He was educated in the United Kingdom. He is a U.S. citizen, and with his degree, he got a British accent. I mean, that's wonderful that you got a British accent with a degree. That's awesome.
Well, it's a great combination. You know, I grew up in the U.K., so I have that
right.
Sort of a supporting element, I suppose. It's a good thing to help get me on American television. So that's
well, I'll tell you, it helps to have a balanced perspective, especially with what we're seeing right now coming on the, out of England with Theresa May trying to save her political life here. And you and I talked about this long ago, when she was going to be the one to carry the day for Brexit.
Yes, and, you know, it's obviously a very challenging situation for her at the moment. We should know in the next, few weeks about her long-term political future. Mm-hmm. It's likely she won't stand in the next Conservative general election as the Conservative leader in the next election, which is in 2022. Mm. But certainly the challenge that she faces at the moment is trying to unify a divided party, the British equivalent of the Republican Party, around the Brexit plan that she has come back from the European Union with, and beyond unifying the party, unifying or at least getting enough votes in the parliament to get that deal through.
Did you think it was a bit of an overreach on her part to come and try and sell something that, I mean, clearly the conservatives there after the vote were really, I guess, inspired to say, okay, hey, this is the right thing, let's do it. I don't think that they were closed off to any kind of compromise, but I thought that what she was offering was a bit of an overreach, don't you?
Well, you know, she had to, her interest was in putting a deal on the table that could unify the country in support of her vision for what Brexit should be. But she was limited by the fact that the European Union would essentially be playing hardball with her and any other prime minister who was trying to negotiate this deal. And the European Union is doing that because largely they want to make it clear to other nations in the European Union that have movements that would wish to leave, that the costs of doing so to their economy, society, etc., are higher than any feasible benefits. And so that political interest for the European Union is in fundamental contradiction with the British interest in getting a deal that is actually good. And it goes so far as to even say that actually the European Union, at least in the short term, is hurting itself by this kind of deal. But they're willing to take on that pain, I think, because in the longer term, they want to serve that message that the European project, because that's what it is, it's an intent, at least by the elites in the European Union, who are the majority by far, the French and the Germans in particular, to create a United States of Europe. And so they want to ensure that the formal arrangements of the European Union in terms of its member state collective are maintained.
So what happens if she works this out and England comes out better as a result of it? What kind of impact does that have on the EU and the member nations?
Well, the question is, does this deal get through Parliament? But the impact on EU nations of this deal coming through would be, you know, pretty good for them. I think the best deal Britain could get. But if it doesn't get through, then we're moving towards what is termed a no-deal Brexit, which would essentially mean that at the end of March next year, when Britain leaves the European Union, there are no trading border arrangements in place, and those arrangements revert to standard World Trade Organization rules and, you know, a denial of relative freedom of movement in terms of through ports and things.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tom, you write this morning that you know, in looking at the Strasbourg attack, you say this is a bigger deal than we're considering right now. Break it down for our audience.
Well, I think that the takeaways here are the fact that this individual was able to access at least a semi-automatic rifle, probably a Kalashnikov AK-47 variant. Grenades were found in his apartment. So that's the first thing. How did he get access to those firearms and weapons? That is not as easy in France as it might appear to be. There are more relaxed gun laws in France than in the UK, for example, but if you're on a terrorism watch list, it's hard to get access to those materials. And he was on the watch list, so that speaks to the potential of a broader network supporting him. I think the second point is that in terms of the way in which he is believed to have become radicalized, which is through prison. He joined, he sort of became affected by Islamic extremist sentiment while in prison. That's a broader point because that's a big issue under the surface in Belgium, France, and Germany. The problem is that you have these young men going into prison for robbery, whatever it might be. It was robbery in his case. And while they're in there, instead of joining the kind of gang that we might correlate with an American prison, which is built on, you know, criminality and pursuit of money, they join gangs that are built on effectively Islamic extremism in the pursuit of the advancement of that ideology, sometimes through violence that we have seen in this case.
Exactly.
So this is the ingredient. It does not make sense for a nation state. A lot of people talk about immigration in terms of a driving force of extremism in Europe, and to some degree that is true, but a far larger problem is individuals going to prison and being radicalized there.
Right.
And then in the final instance, the fact that this was an attack on a Christmas market is concerning in the sense that ISIS in particular have long preferenced Christmas-style attacks on urban environments. It's been a recurring theme in their plots, including in plots that were defeated. So it does raise the concern, which is why I think you see the French raising the alert level that possibly other individuals as part of a broader network might be involved here. They might not be, but again, that does stand out.
Well, Tom, I know this is a little bit after the fact, but you know, Ramadan was a record killing season again. I mean, this is all part and parcel of their philosophy is, you know, it's a celebration of death. And they go out executing bodies, and you know the numbers I was just reading the other day again surpassed last year's numbers.
Well, yes, I mean for ISIS and Al Qaeda, certainly the fringe elements of political Islam, it is a opportunity to use holy holidays, whether Christian or Islamic, as an opportunity to as they say, purify unbelievers or betrayers of the faith. You know, of course, one of the things that I do come back to here and think it is important is that our ability to infiltrate these groups, certainly ISIS in the Middle East, is dependent on our own, you know, Muslim American or, you know, British Muslim citizens. I mean, the British Pakistani community in the UK is a core driver for infiltration of Islamic extremist groups there. So the challenge I think we have is the power with certainly in places like Pakistan, elements of the Pakistani madrasa scene, which is the holy schools. Qatar is a funding source. Saudis, actually, which is one of the reasons I've been more sympathetic to Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, than some people have been over this Khashoggi killing.
Well, tell you what, we got to go a quick pause. Yeah. Let's pick it up when we come back. More from Tom Rogan after this. Okay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
My doctor makes more informed decisions prescribing my blood pressure medications based on the data I presented to him on the SmartBP app.
That's one.
SmartBP can export a colorful, detailed blood pressure report that I can bring to my doctor.
That's two.
SmartBP is easy to use and intuitive, and the features on the free version are very generous.
And that's just three of the thousands of five-star reviews of SmartBP, a new blood pressure tracking smartphone app from Evolve Medical Systems. SmartBP is the only app designed for ease of use and seamless connectivity to help manage your blood pressure and keep track of your health at your fingertips. With SmartBP, you can automatically sync your blood pressure measurements through Apple Health and Microsoft Health Vault. Connect with Apple Watch. Easily print and share detailed reports with your doctor, plus many more features. SmartBP is free and available both on Apple and Android devices. And be sure to search the App Store for Smart Blood Pressure from Evolve Medical Systems. That's SmartBP from Evolve Medical Systems, the smart blood pressure tracker.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez live.
Back with the America, Bill Martinez here. Tom Rogan continues with his commentary writer for the Washington Examiner. Tom, before the break, right at the edge of it, you were just talking about MBS and the Khashoggi killing, and that you said you were more sympathetic to MBS than the general consensus in D.C. Tell us about that.
Yes, because I think in the long term, Mohammed bin Salman, for all his malfeasant behavior in terms of the killing of Khashoggi, and certain other areas, unpredictability, the conduct of the Yemen war, his political reform program at home, which is ultimately designed to preserve the power of the House of Saud, his sort of dynasty, it is also designed to dilute the appeal of Islamic extremism, to create a modern economy that allows a very young population there, and obviously with the oil money, which is declining, there is a need to diversify there. So one of the reasons, to put it simply, that I'm supportive of him more than some people are, is that I think those reforms are really necessary to remove the ingredients both in the present for funding of terrorism, and in the long term, the ingredients for terrorism, disenfranchisement in society, which drives people into the hands of extremist clerics and ideology.
And speaking of those extremists, you also talk about, you know, the mass graves being a telltale sign here that ISIS spends most of its time and energy killing fellow Muslims.
Yes, and, you know, this is a very important point in the sense that we do have a challenge in the manner of, you know, what ISIS is doing, particularly to Muslims. And this is a repeating facet of ISIS action, both against Shia Muslims, but in this case, in the article I referenced, or I wrote, Sunni Muslims, the same kind of tribes, the same tribes indeed, that helped the U.S. turn the tide against al-Qaeda in Iraq in 2006-07. So it's important to remember that this is not a, you know, unitary Muslim group that is doing some kind of warped resistance thing. It is a dictatorial or a tyrannical group, both in structure, organization, and intent, that is designed towards purifying, again, the world of anyone and every ideology that does not kneel to its own. And you know, they're very, very unpleasant people by that combination of, you know, ideology, intent, and action.
Exactly. Well, Tom, I want to come back domestically for a moment here. And the scene in the White House yesterday, which, in my humble opinion, I thought was quite brilliant, that President Trump held the media right there to kind of hear a tit-for-tat back and forth between Schumer, Pelosi, and the president, but mostly the president, regarding the fight over the border wall. What did you make of that?
Well, I think that I had a piece yesterday in which I suggested that it was the best way to put it was, you know, a great portrait of American politics in 2018. I think, you know, look, it was about theatrics. It wasn't about deal-making, ultimately. But the idea of more, I think, media visibility to these meetings as a principle is potentially a good one. And I think it certainly served the president's interest to do it in that way. And I don't really know what Nancy Pelosi was thinking when she went into that meeting, thinking that it would necessarily be behind closed doors. Right. But look, you know, there's nothing, some of the people who say it was so terrible, I disagree with that, because I think, you know, this is democracy, and it's theatrical, and it's designed to win votes, and sometimes it's absurd, but, you know, there was jostling there, but it was, I mean, this is politics in 2018. Mm-hmm. It's something, and at least it's not sort of name-calling and some of the more pernicious things we see. They were in a room, and right. You saw that from Chuck Schumer. He was laughing a bit. Mike Pence looked to be asleep for most of the meeting. So it was, Nancy Pelosi was the only one who really didn't seem to be enjoying herself.
Well, no, and of course she had to come in afterwards and, you know, again, throw the gender card out. I guess that's her only argument. Let's talk about, you know, oh, it's somebody's manhood. You know, God forbid that anybody would say anything about her feminism, because then, you know, they'd get hit with a hashtag or something. But, you know, it's hypocrisy runs deep there in D.C., no doubt about it. And, again, Donald Trump being the exposing agent that he is, continues to take you behind the scenes of the sausage-making process.
Yes.
It was a bit entertaining. I took it. I'm sorry. I just was entertained by it.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, it was, I think it was a sort of, it was a silly but, you know, amusing thing. You can understand why he did it for his political reason.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, I think she made a mistake by trying to change the conversation into identity politics away from immigration, which is the issue that he's going to be identified with.
Yeah, it's like, look, here's your chance to, you know, tell your story, come up with your ideas. Do the Democrats see this as a real problem? A majority of Americans, over 60%, see this as a real problem. You know, what are your ideas to solve it instead of making it into a political football and let's kick it back and forth? I mean, that's what got us into this mess to begin with. I wanted to transition over to Michael Cohen. He was just sentenced to 3 years in prison. People are all going schizoid over that, wondering, oh, gosh, you know, what's the big reveal here? Is this going to be the toppling of Donald Trump? Democrats are already talking about him spending time in jail once he leaves office, and on the hyperbole continues. And meanwhile, we're waiting on Mueller and then some side stories about, oh, yeah, those Clinton emails. You know, but those aren't coming from Mueller. That's coming from somebody else altogether.
Yes, I mean, the Clinton Foundation, I think, investigation continues to rumble on quite quietly. But, you know, with Michael Cohen, I mean, his value to any kind of prosecution against the president's inner circle would be defined by, it would have to be corroborated by forensic material, which is to say emails, you know, phone conversations that were recorded, et cetera, et cetera. As a witness on the stand, he has no credibility because of his repeated lying.
Right.
And that's not a you know, a partisan point to make it simple legal. You know, any lawyer would tell you that.
Exactly.
Credibility on the stand, absent, you know, forensic linking points in terms of emails. I mean, that's, for example, why Gates, Manafort's business partner, was useful. I mean, he had been a repeated liar, but he had also, what he said could be linked to documentation in terms of money flows, etc. That was his value. Absent that documentation, he would have had no value, and he would not have got the plea deal he got. But in Michael Cohen's case, you know, if it's a campaign finance thing that is targeting senior people, you know, that alone might be enough. But of course, as the debate we've been seeing play out over the last few days suggests that getting Trump in on that, even if there are linking points, I suspect would not be enough to see him impeached. I think it would be based on precedents as well. I mean, we've talked, you know, John Edwards, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, exactly. Well, the numbers don't substantiate it, and it doesn't take a math genius to figure this out. And what are you going to do, waste 2 years here? Or are you going to demonstrate to the people that you can legislate and, you know, over-investigate when we've got serious problems, whether it has to do with immigration, continued job creation, and the economy? What are you going to bring to the dance to help America on those fronts, not to mention our international posture as well?
Yeah, and I think you see this in the tensions now playing out in the new Democratic caucus, in the sense that Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer would prefer to take the line of legislating, show that they can legislate at least on some issues. I think they, you know, sense a lot of opportunity on the idea of an infrastructure program that, quite frankly, would be, you know, more deferential to their interests than traditional conservative notions of interest. But the problem they face is that they also have, you know, individuals like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez who are
exactly
pushing very hard for a more, for a sort of weaponized focus on President Trump, and the Democratic donor base, who a lot of who want to see Trump taken on in that regard. I think about the influence of Tom Steyer there, for example.
Yes,
so
exactly.
The balancing of these interests, and the Democrats are going to find it hard, I think, to unify around a common approach.
Well, Tom, we appreciate your insight as always. Thank you for your time. Tom Rogan, commentary writer for the Washington Examiner on Bill Martinez Live. Happy holidays to you, Tom. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Happy holidays, Bill. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found that 53% of Americans plan to shop after Thanksgiving weekend. Last holiday season, consumers spent an average of $1,143 on retail purchases, showing there's a lot more shopping and spending ahead for Americans. Jason Gaughan, Bank of America executive.
As you begin purchasing holiday decorations and gifts, it pays to have a credit card that rewards you for every purchase. With the Bank of America Premium Rewards Card, you earn an unlimited 1.5 points for every dollar you spend. Earn even more when you book holiday travel with 2 points for every dollar spent on all travel and dining purchases. Plus, our preferred rewards clients can receive a rewards bonus of up to 75%.
For more tips and information on how to apply for the premium rewards card, visit bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards. That's bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump is reportedly telling people close to him that he is getting more and more worried about the possibility of being impeached. An NBC News report says a number of people claim the president's fears are rising as the consequences of federal investigations of his associates start to sink in. The president reportedly also worried about congressional investigations after Democrats take control of the U.S. House next year.
He's fighting for America and American people every day.
In a Fox interview with Sean Hannity, that's First Lady Melania Trump, saying she believes in what her husband is doing in the White House and doesn't listen to his detractors.
He wants to govern the right way, and sometimes it's tough because you could see the media wants to bash and focus on negativity.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Nearly 40 kids a day are injured by TV and furniture tip-overs, according to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Since 2000, 450 children have died from tipped furniture or a falling television. With lots of shoppers buying TVs and furniture this holiday season, CPSC wants to remind you to anchor these items to the wall to prevent tip-over incidents. Anne-Marie Burkle's the acting chairman of the U.S. CPSC.
Please take a few minutes to anchor TVs and furniture this holiday season to save a life. This quick and easy step could prevent an injury or even the death of a child. Remember to anchor it for safety.
TVs should always be placed on a sturdy, low base and pushed back as far as possible or mounted to the wall. Keep heavier items on low shelves or drawers. Recycle older TVs. With anchoring kits available from major retailers and online, anchoring furniture and TVs is inexpensive and only takes a few minutes. Find out more information at anchorit.gov. Check cpsc.gov for recalls.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez live.
The way you like us, fresh and independent, back with you. Bill Martinez here, as we are every Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Dr. Lee Lindquist is going to join us in just a moment, the chief of geriatrics at the Northwestern Medicine, because we want to talk about older adults who have increasing and unmet home-based needs or just are reluctant to accept help. And may find themselves in an unsafe living situation. Now, this refusal to accept support is not only dangerous for older adults, but it also weighs heavily on their families, right? Well, Northwestern Medicine geriatrics researchers set out to better understand this reluctant behavior by going directly to the source, adults age 65 and older. The objective of the study was to understand the perspectives of older adults about accepting help at home and the fears related to the potential loss of independence. As I said, Dr. Lee Lindquist joins us. Dr. Lee is the chief of geriatrics at Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Lindquist, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much.
Oh, I should say how. Forgive me. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's one of those names could go either way. And
well,
you're absolutely right. There's so many seniors that we worry about. So many of us know seniors who, you know, could use help, but they are reluctant to accept it. And many of them feel like if they start accepting help, it's going to be one step closer to the nursing home, which is actually the reverse. If you accept help in the home, we know you're going to stay in your home longer. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing it more as people are getting older, you know, as our country is aging, too.
Right. Well, Dr. Lindquist, you know, the results of the survey were quite telling. Share some of the results with our audience, if you would.
We interviewed seniors as part of this research project that we're doing here at Northwestern Medicine, and one of the things we asked our seniors, besides why are you refusing care, is also, you know, how can we overcome this refusal? Because ultimately we want our seniors to age in place and age comfortably in place. And so we said, you know, how can we get seniors the help they need so that they can keep aging in place? And so, you know, a common theme that we heard was, you know, it's not about losing independence, because no one is completely independent. In our society, we depend on each other, you know, for so many things. It's more about being interdependent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, knowing that your neighbors are next to you, they're helping you and so forth. There's so much interdependence. And accepting help is not about losing any independence. It's about just changes in interdependence.
Right. I mean, nobody wants to be a burden, right? I mean, you got the burden perspective that comes into play here, right?
Yeah, exactly. But what was interesting is that one of our, a few of our seniors said, you know what, whenever I help somebody, I feel warm fuzzies. I have this feeling of joy.
Exactly.
So if I allow somebody to help me, it's me enabling them the opportunity to experience this joy. And that's kind of going along with the holiday spirit. We know we feel better, we feel good when we help others.
Mm-hmm.
So if we accept help, that's a way of making others feel good. So
exactly. It's a circle. It's a circle that blesses everybody. Again, we're reminded, you know, to what you're saying, that old saying, it's better to give than to receive. And, you know, it's a little bit of that that perspective coming into play, is it not?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so instead of talking to seniors and saying, you know, your memory is going, you need helpers, or, you know, your function is getting worse, I need to get somebody in there, it's better to say, you know what, I have a friend who wants to volunteer, or there's somebody who is a really good cook and wants to, you know, learn your way of cooking or learn how to, you know, work with seniors more. So they're going to come over and you guys can partner and work together.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more of a, it's not because of what you're doing wrong. It's more of, let's work together because this is a way of this person feeling better.
Exactly. Well, as you say, you know, we need to pause a moment and, you know, reframe and consider the concept, as you say, of being independent and becoming interdependent, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of fun because instead of thinking of us as growing old, it's thinking about us as growing up.
Yes.
And this is just the next phase of your life when you're turning 78 and 90. And that's why we built the website planyourlifespan.org here at Northwestern Medicine, primarily as a way of helping people plan for when they turn 70, 80, or 90 and they might need help so that they can have a greater input into making decisions like, I want to live in my own home, I want this person helping me, you know, this is what I want done in my own home. So
right.
It's a way of helping families communicate with their seniors, but then also seniors knowing what's available to them, because it's a publicly available website that's free to use that connects you with local resources. And so it's a great way of kind of having the conversation or thinking about what you might need in this fourth quarter of your life.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Lee, what are some other strategies that you found that were helpful in overcoming refusal?
Yeah, so besides reframing and contributing to others, we talked about, or we heard a lot about, you know, overcoming that initial ask. Mm-hmm. Everybody remembers the first time they've asked out somebody, you know, or asked the first time to do something, and it's really a tough thing to do the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But then after you do that first ask, it gets easier. So seniors said, you know, the first time I asked for help, it really threw me, but then after I got past it, it was so much easier to do. And on the flip side, you know, as, you know, people living around seniors, when we see a senior that might need help, saying, you know what, hey, I'm going to work with you on this, let's do it together, you know, so that they don't even have to do that initial ask. So
exactly.
Pretty much volunteering to help, or even saying, we're going to do this together so we can fix it.
Well, we're visiting with Dr. Lee Lindquist. She's a geriatrician and head of geriatrics at Northwestern Memorial Hospital and Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. She is a published author, educator, and national expert in the care of older adults. So we're taking advantage of her experience and helping us understand because, I mean, you know, as we're living longer, Dr. Lee, you know, I think we're all faced with we're either going to be cared for or we're going to be caring for somebody, right?
And it's probably both.
Right.
because many of us have been caregivers in our lifetime, and I always say it's kind of a full circle. You know, our parents took care of us when we were younger, so now it's our way of paying back or paying forward. You know, for them taking care of us, we're going to be taking care of them. And I think seniors have such rich histories, so literally they are walking history, whether it's learning about World War II directly from people that were there, you know, or people who have lived through the Depression. It's amazing what seniors can tell us. So I think it's a really rich relationship that we can have with seniors.
Yeah, what I've appreciated, of course, you know, I do this for a living. I interview people, and I love to hear their stories. And the stories of older people is so phenomenal because of the experience. I mean, they've lived for decades. Things that you theoretically may have thought could be applicable, they'll look at you like, what are you, some kind of knucklehead? You know, come here, let me give it to you straight. Because there's just something about seniors that have a very pragmatic approach because it's bathed in experience. And it's so rich there, and it's available. And unfortunately, in our culture, we seem to want to, you know, kind of warehouse seniors and put them away somewhere until their life is done. And we miss out on those stories.
That's terrible. I agree with you. Yeah. And keeping them in our society, active members of our community, is so important, which is why at Northwestern we love doing research that kind of helps get the seniors' voice. For this research, we interviewed seniors because seniors know what they want. And so that's why, you know, it's great to hear their stories and to use what experiences they have into building a better society.
Mm-hmm. And the bottom line of all this, whether you're a senior or yet to be one, you know, I believe one of the main driving issues of happiness in life is for us to have a sense of productivity, that we're adding to somebody's day and we're adding to life. And to be given that opportunity is a real blessing, and I think a lost opportunity if we don't take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
Well, Dr. Lee Lindquist, where can our listeners go for more information?
Sure, they can go to planyourlifespan.org. It's available publicly, free of charge. It's here at Northwestern Medicine, or they can visit the Northwestern Medicine Geriatrics website.
She's the chief of geriatrics at Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Lee Lindquist has been with us. Dr. Lee, thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
You take care.
Posting your job opening to an online job search site is like drinking from a fire hose. You get more resumes than you know what to do with. Robert Half is the better way to hire. Our candidates are interviewed and custom matched to your exact hiring requirements. Quickly. Satisfaction guaranteed. So what you need is just what you'll get. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
Gold Bond salutes all you fixers out there. Fixers of wobbly chairs, squeaky stairs, and drippy faucets. Folks who can fix just about anything, except dry, cracked hands.
Whoa, that's bad. Man.
Say hello to Gold Bond Cracked Skin Cream. More than a lotion, it precisely fills, soothes, and protects rough, cracked fingers and knuckles. 91% said cracked skin felt smoother in one day.
Yep, feeling good.
Gold Bond Cracked Skin Cream. Find it in First Aid at CVS.
This report is brought to you by Amazon. Just in time for the holiday season, Amazon announced the Best of Prime 2018, celebrating Prime members' favorites of the past year. The most popular product was the Fire TV Stick with Alexa voice remote among U.S. members. Justin Timberlake was the most streamed artist worldwide on Prime Music. And Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan starring John Krasinski, as well as Homecoming starring Julia Roberts, were the most binge shows on Prime Video. According to Amazon spokesperson Julie Law, fast delivery defined the year.
Throughout the past year, Prime members enjoyed ultra-fast delivery speeds, sometimes as quickly as 9 minutes with Prime Now. And around the world, Prime members ordered more than 2 billion products with one-day delivery or faster.
Best of Prime highlights how members in 17 countries enjoyed the best of shopping and entertainment from Amazon. To see all of Prime members' favorites, visit amazon.com/bestofprime. And new members can sign up for a free 30-day trial at amazon.com/prime.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
To head west, we're going to go to the movie capital of the world. Live from that movie capital, we've got Steve Evans, the movie guy, next.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Well, Steve-O, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Ralph Breaks the Internet. It is number three week in a row, right? Numero uno?
Well, it's kind of deja vu all over again.
Why not?
The list, this list looks very familiar. Ralph Breaks the Internet, number one, 16.3 last weekend. Dr. Seuss, The Grinch, number two. Creed 2, number three. Fantastic Beasts, number four. And Bohemian Rhapsody, rounding out the top five. Yes, we've seen that list before. But
yep,
all that's
going
to change. It's all going to change this weekend.
That's right.
Okay. Box office is going to come to life this weekend. I have a movie here called Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is getting great reviews. 98% are recommending this. And it's an animated film and starring people you probably haven't heard. Well, yeah, we have Haley Steinfeld and also Mahershala Ali in this one. But it's about Miles Morales becoming Spider-Man of his reality and crosses paths with counterparts from other dimensions, and all this happens to stop the threat to reality, right? And so that's the premise here. This is rated PG, so everybody can go see this one. And it's done by some people, Bill Lord and Christopher Miller, who were the creative minds behind the Lego movie. Remember that?
Right,
21
exactly.
Jump Street. Mm-hmm. So the animation is really cool. I mean, visually, this is really something to see. And the story is great. A lot of soul with the story. And the music is terrific, too. And here's what the New York Times had to say. It says, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse contains a vital element that has been missing from too many recent superhero movies, and that element is fun. This thing is just a good time. So
you think it's going to be number one next week?
I think it will be number one. They say it should be making about $36 million or so.
Oh, okay.
It could go higher, yeah. So it's a lot of fun. And I think if you are wondering about, do I want to see another Spider-Man movie, just check out the trailer. It's very
You say the animation, though, is really cool, huh?
It is, yeah. They're saying this is a pop art extravaganza. This is really cool to see.
Excellent.
Now, Bill, you have often wondered, why do these movies have to be profane? Why do they have to swear so much?
Yeah, exactly.
What would happen? Okay,
right.
So this is going to be a little experiment this weekend. Deadpool 2 has been recut, right? Remember Deadpool 2? You saw the movie, right?
Right, right, no.
Yeah, that was an R-rated movie, and deservedly so. So here's what's happened, according to one critic. They had edited down, chopped up, and stuck inside a stuck this thing inside a strange, though not entirely unlikable, framing device, all the better to earn a PG-13 rating and get served right back to an audience that presumably liked it the way it was the first time around. Mm-hmm. So what they've done is they've taken Deadpool 2, and they have edited this movie, so it is now a PG-13 movie.
So this is Deadpool 2A, basically?
Yes, I guess you could look at it that way. So mm-hmm. here's the problem. In other words, you'll have a scene where the F word is used abundantly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they go back and they just overdub bite for every time the character is saying the actual F word, which defeats the purpose, because if you're watching this scene, you know what the character is saying.
Exactly,
right?
Just
not actually saying the word. But anyway.
So what does it look like? One of those old Japanese Godzilla movies where the lips are moving and the words aren't coming out?
That could be the case. And mm-hmm. how it's done is they have Fred Savage joining the Ryan Reynolds character in, as you know, he's actually, Ryan Reynolds is reading this fairy tale to Fred Savage, which recreates this bedtime classic in The Princess Bride. So anyway, that's a lot of people are saying it's just this needless cash grab to see if they can grab a few more bucks. But it's out there, and we can all make up our
mind. Well, maybe it'll just appease some people, and they can go back and tell everybody, see, we tried it. And, so leave us alone now in all our F words. Okay.
I don't know. When I saw the original, I thought this is a very funny movie, definitely not for kids. And so I think that's what it remains.
Okay. All right.
Clint Eastwood is back. You've heard about this, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
It's called The Mule. Now, Clint Eastwood is 88 years old. And I have to say, he looks 88 in this movie. But you have to hand it to the guy. He not only directs, but he also appears in this movie. He hasn't actually been in one of his movies for the last 10 years. I mean, I think it was Gran Torino was the last time he actually appeared on screen. But, you know, when you're 88 years old, my gosh, it's great that you're getting out of bed in the morning, let alone starring in movies and directing.
It's not like he needs the money, right?
Here's the deal. He plays this guy, Earl Stone, a man in his 80s who is broke, alone, and facing foreclosure of his business, and all of a sudden he's offered this job that simply requires him to drive. Easy enough, but unbeknownst to Earl, he has just signed on as a drug courier for a Mexican cartel. And he does this very well. I mean, his cargo begins to increase. He's assigned a handler from the cartel, but the handler isn't the only one keeping tabs on Earl. You have this mysterious new drug mule also being and hitting the radar of a hard-charging DEA agent by the name of Colin Bates, played by Bradley Cooper in this movie. That's what's happening. Even though as his money problems have become a thing of the past, Earl's past mistakes start to weigh heavily on him, and he's uncertain if he'll have time to right those wrongs before law enforcement or the cartel's enforcers catch up to him. Sounds like a great plot. 65% are recommending this. It's called The Mule. You want to see that one?
Yeah, I want to check it out. Well, there's not much he's done, that Clint Eastwood has done, that I don't like. I love his acting. I love his storytelling. So for me, I know it's an R-rated DLC, and you're talking drugs, so you're going to get the language in there. I'm going to check it out.
Well, the interesting thing is it's more than just about a drug mule. It's about this guy who's facing his entire life and wondering if he's made the right decisions and if he can right the wrongs that he has experienced over the years before time runs out.
At 90 years old. I mean, he's got the drug cartel coming at him. He's got a DEA agent. And, oh, yeah, by the way, at 90, he's got life coming at him. Talk about the ultimate squeeze here, right?
As they say, the clock is ticking. There.
And the part of him wants redemption in his waning years, right?
Right, that's the idea here.
Yeah.
You know?
We got it all worked out here. I understood.
There it is. It's out this weekend. We have another movie here called Mortal Engines. A lot of people have been looking forward to this one because it is written by Peter Jackson, directed by Christian Rivers, who did, of course, Lord of the Rings. So a lot of people have been looking to this. Only about 34% are recommending it, however. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Mortal Engines takes place in a post-apocalyptic world, hundreds of years after civilization was destroyed by some sort of a cataclysmic event. You have a mysterious young woman, Hester Shaw, played by Hera Hilmar, emerges as the only one who can stop London. London now is a giant predator city on wheels, which, if you check out the trailer, is something to see.
Really?
Now you have...
So worse than Brexit, huh? Now they got...
Actually, that's an interesting comparison.
Right.
Now you have the entire city getting up and leaving and on wheels. So these giant predator cities on wheels are really something to see, and they devour everything in their path.
Wow.
Beryl, and fiercely driven by the memory of her mother, Hester joins forces with Tom Natsworthy, an outcast from London, along with Anna Fang, a dangerous outlaw with a bounty on her head to counteract this city on wheels. Check it out. 34% recommending. They're just saying one thing, you know, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and it brings up more questions than there are answers, and mm-hmm. there are some problems with the plot. But, hey, visually, it's kind of something to see.
Well, yeah, it sounds verbally, it sounds like a little bit of a stretch, but, hey, look at, you know, you love these filmmakers for, you know, their creativity and what they try to do. And you never know. I mean, this idea maybe gets something else. You know, somebody gets an idea for, oh, yeah, kind of, but, you know, it's far out there when you think about a city on wheels, right?
It is, and it's something to see.
Right.
A movie here called If Beale Street Could Talk. I have been seeing the trailers for this. This is a very sweet movie, getting great reviews. 92% are recommending. James Baldwin is the author, of course, of the story. This is directed by Barry Jenkins, who was the director of Moonlight. And this is set in early 1970s Harlem. If Beale Street Could Talk is this moving story, a love story of both a couple's unbreakable bond and the African-American family's empowering embrace of this couple, as told through the eyes of this 19-year-old girl, Tish Rivers, played by a newcomer, Kiki Lane. A daughter and wife-to-be, Tish vividly recalls the passion, respect, and trust that have connected her and her artist fiancé, Alonzo Hunt, whose nickname is Bonnie in the movie. Friends since childhood, the devoted couple dream of a future together, but their plans are derailed when Bonnie is arrested for a crime he did not commit. If Beale Street Could Talk, the music in this is terrific.
I bet.
The mood, this thing is very well done. 92% are recommending, and, of course, directed by Barry Jenkins.
Good.
Also, this is kind of an interesting concept here. We have a movie here called Capernaum. And this won the Grand Jury Prize at the Cannes Film Festival. Probably not for everybody in limited release, but this is an interesting movie. It's directed by Nadine Labaki, and it tells the story of Zane, who is this Lebanese boy who actually sues his parents for the crime of giving him life.
Ooh.
Now, it follows Zane, this gutsy, streetwise kid, as he flees his negligent parents, survives through his wits on the streets, and takes care of this Ethiopian refugee. And the cool thing about it is she is using people, performers in her scenes that are non-professionals, just playing characters very close to their actual lives. So you might want to check out that Capernaum, 74% recommending that one.
Interesting. A little derivative of what was it called? What was that called? Not affluenza. Was it called affluenza? You know, that the idea that because my parents were wealthy, you know, that it's their fault. Something like that? It's not affluenza. It's something close like that.
As well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But, hey, look at a lot of great offerings there. And for us to get back in the swing of things, and we'll see how Spider-Man does next week when we rejoin the movie guy, Steve Evans, here on Bill Martinez Live. Take care, Steve-O. Thank you, buddy. We'll see you at the Cineplex.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
Most of you know.